Come on in. Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. We are here on tonight, ready for a Monday Manna Bible study. We're in the Song of Solomon, and we're moving rapidly through the Song of Solomon. We're going into chapter 7, I believe. And so we're here and ready to begin, so come on in.
All right. We hope everyone has had a great day today and that you are part of what's going to happen here tonight as we prepare for this time together. And as we always say, we're grateful for what God has done and what he's doing and for what he will do in our lives. And we praise God for his word, for his word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so we bless his name tonight. In spite of our circumstances and our situations, we will bless the Lord. And so we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on this particular virtual study tonight. There are several platforms, and we hope that you will all tune in and pitch in and share your comments as we go through. And Lady Kim, we finished reading the last few verses, the last 8 verses of that 6th chapter. Okay. Yeah. All right. And so we'll do that. And then I think we'll be right on track tonight. If we can maybe even hold 7 for next week, because we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but we'll follow your lead, of course. But let's prepare tonight and let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. And we thank you for sustaining us in the midst of everything that has happened in our world and what's happening in our community. And then, God, what's happening around us personally. We pray your choices, blessings to be upon us, even as we engage in this time together tonight. We pray, the Lord, that you will lift burdens, that you will heal, deliver, and set free. And then, God, that we might be attentive to your word. For your word brings life. Your word is indeed a lamp and a light. And so we give you praise for that as we move forward. Continue to order our steps. Now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Give God some thumbs up and let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal tonight as we prepare for our time together. We're going to reread those the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 16. We read that as we closed out last week, but we're going to reread that and then just go back and see if there's anything we need to cover or take part of and participate in. So we're certainly grateful for each of you. We see you coming in. Is the sound coming in clear? Let us know. And we praise God for those of you who have joined us thus far. And for those who will hear us later, Lady Kim, by playback, we have a lot of people who come back and listen to the broadcast even after we finish it. And so we praise God for that as well. Well, let's see. There was another busy weekend this past weekend. Well, yesterday and Saturday, we were on the road Saturday coming back to Memphis and went down Friday to Birmingham to spend some time and check on a few people. And then to surprise our good friend and brother at the Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Dr. Michael Wesley, as they were celebrating his 37th church anniversary. I tell you, 37 years, that's a long time, but he's yet holding forth and maintaining. And we had a great time in fellowship with them on Friday night. And then Saturday, we just kind of moved around a little slow and went and made some visits and then got back on the road, coming here to Memphis, and then got ready for Sunday service. But one important thing happened in the process, in the midst of all of that. We had to set our clocks back an hour.
Amen.
Did that benefit you, Lady Kim?
Yes, that benefited me a lot.
Okay, did you get you some rest?
Not really. I woke up at the same time, even earlier.
Did you?
But it felt good to not have to rush.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't have too much problem about reminding people not to be
late. Go back, huh?
Because if they didn't set their clocks back, then they were early.
They won't.
So, you know, so yeah. We had a, a great crowd on Sunday, and we had the Lord showed himself in the midst of us as we worshiped on Sunday. Tell us a little bit about what you were able to gather from that word out of Matthew's gospel on yesterday.
Well, you came from Matthew, the ninth chapter, verses 35 through 38, and your topic was make room for your harvest. Mm-hmm. Make room for your harvest. And, you know, it's that passage of scripture where Jesus went, was going throughout the cities, and he was teaching in the synagogues. And one of the sentences or phrases that is very familiar to us from that Bible, from the Bible, is this particular verse where he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Okay.
And he said, therefore pray ye earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to mm-hmm. send out laborers into his harvest.
Okay.
So what does that mean? You said that first of all, you have to see the harvest. You have to realize that there is a harvest. So many times we don't visualize our harvest, so we don't even think we have the potential that there is a harvest. But we need to visualize that harvest. We need to see that harvest in our eye. And then when we see that harvest, we have to go for it.
That's right.
Know?
That's right. And you're absolutely correct, Lady Kim. And that is a powerful passage of scripture. And many times we miss out on what God is trying to get done in our lives because we have this this grand idea of a harvest, but we don't make room for prepare for the harvest that God has in store. And so one of the things that we were really trying to emphasize, even though we had some points, was to make sure that our obedience to God's word and our response to what he would have for us to do would prepare us for what he's about to do in our lives. And so, you know, it's similar to when you are renovating or when you are remodeling. It just doesn't make sense, in my opinion, and people might differ with me on this, to expand and then put the old stuff back in where you just finished cleaning out and preparing for something new. Hmm. And I think we as believers need to be mindful of that, because when God is getting ready to do something special and something significant and something different in our lives, then we need to make sure that we have made room for what he wants to do and not just pile that up on what he's already done.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Because God is able to pour in more when you have made room for
that's
it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, that's just like, you may not realize it or not, but when I buy a pair of shoes, I try to give two pair of shoes away.
Okay.
So, you know, to...
So why you say I may not realize that?
Because I have so many shoes.
Oh, okay. All right. See, you don't know
but
if I'm
now,
looking or not. I realize that, and I'll be keeping an eye on that. But when you get those sales, Lady Kim, like one time we went somewhere, and I tell you, the sales were right, the shoes fit, all of the designs were like what you like, and it just made sense. Mm-hmm. And so part of what you did was saying, I'm going to give away as many pairs as I've received. And you were kind of holding on to one of those pairs that you really kind of like. You remember that?
Yeah.
Did you ever get rid of those?
I did.
Okay, you let them go?
Actually, they're in the bag upstairs
okay.
to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes. And it's the same way with God that, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that when we let go, he's able to give us more.
That's good.
You know, someone gave a great illustration once that you can't receive with your hand closed.
That's right. That's right.
In order to receive, you have to open your hand.
Open your hand.
And, you know, in the process of opening your hand, you might have to let go of some things, but then your hand is open to receive what God
has
for
you.
That's right. So, you know, and one of the points that you stated in your sermon that as laborers, we have to see the need and meet the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so many times we try to hold on or hoard everything we can, but there are people that need what we have to give.
That's right.
We might think it's junk, or we might think it's worn out,
right,
or we
right.
might not think it has less value, but there are people who would love to have what you have.
That's right. That's right.
Your leftovers, your
that's right.
insignificant things.
The stuff that you throw away.
Absolutely.
That you think no one else. A one man's, how's it go?
Trash is another man's
that's
treasure.
That's right, that's right. How do you know I was going to say that? I might have
you
been,
were fixing your mouth. I think we've been married long enough where I can kind of answer
Okay, tell me now what I'm getting ready to say.
No, I'm not a mind reader.
Oh, okay.
Now.
All right.
I'm not a mind reader.
But no, you're absolutely correct. And I think many times we hold on to that which God wants us to release, as you've already indicated. And we become so familiar with the comfortable and with surroundings in terms of making us feel at ease till we don't trust the unfamiliar.
Right.
And God wants us to move, I believe, from the familiar to the unfamiliar and experiencing Him at a whole nother level. And part of what we're really trying to do as we close out this year, and we mentioned it in our sermon on yesterday, all of our teachings as well as our Institute for Leadership Training has centered us and focused around all of the necessary modules and the tools that's necessary in order for us to prepare for the harvest that God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that harvest has to do with the souls coming into the kingdom.
Amen.
And so that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is going to come to ATOP 3939 Riverdale Road, but we still have an opportunity to witness and let our light shine so that others might come in out of darkness into the marvelous light. And just maybe they might come to ATOP. We praise God if they do. But we're interested in getting people saved, delivered, and set free, and letting our light shine in such a way that they will see God in us.
Mm-hmm. The harvest is plenteous,
but the
laborers are few. And that also means that there is a lot out there, but there are not many people going after it.
That's right.
God's harvest are souls, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Time is winding up. We look back over our lives and life is just a flash almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get to our age, when you look back over your life, you know, life has gone
quickly.
Speak
for yourself.
Well, I speak for myself. Oh, yes.
Right. Now, you're right. I'm just joking with you.
Yes,
but
I speak for myself. You're
only 2 years younger than I am.
Three.
Okay. See, I knew you were going to say that. Moving right along. All right. But no, Lady Kim, you carry your age well and your beauty well, and you don't look like you as old as you are.
I'm an old lady.
But no, I know that. But I went ahead and snatched you up right early before somebody else did because I saw the potential and I saw...
Oh, okay. Yes.
What? You don't want me to... I saw all of
the
that.
The people come for Bible study.
This is going to line up right with our study for
all
tonight
right.
Because... Solomon saw something in his bride-to-be, even though he had been out there and he had seen different other people. He knew when he saw the jewel, and he knew when he saw the diamond that represented who he wanted, he needed to do something to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw you, I had to do something. Even though you chased me down, I had to do something
to make that happen.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
That's going back and forth, just like we.
What are we doing? That going back and forth?
Okay.
You have a different version.
I chased you down, but you had to pursue.
Oh, you have a different version of the story than I do. That's what you're saying.
Somebody said, "Nice save, Dr. Murray."
Okay. All right. Let's move on because
we
don't want to go chase that rabbit down that hole right now.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
All right. But part of what we were talking about in terms of preparing and getting ready for what God is going to do, it's not only us seeing what God saw, but it's also us having a mindset and an attitude to make change.
Amen.
And so Jesus, when he came to people, he didn't judge them based on what they had gone through or how they looked or what they smelt like or what they, what they had been involved in. But he was trying to get them to another level of understanding and trying to get them to come in out of that darkness into the marvelous light. And so I think our behavior should match our belief, mm-hmm. and our ministry should match the message. Mm-hmm. And so if we preach about outreach, if we preach about anointing, if we preach about people being saved and delivered, we preach about welcoming people, then when they come in, they should feel that, and they should not feel as if we're saying one thing and doing something else altogether different.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We have to see the mission field and envision what God wants us to see.
That's right. That's right. And so as a result of the response, I only covered just one of those points from yesterday, but the Lord was moving. And as a result, when the invitation was extended, the floodgates opened and mm-hmm. people came for prayer.
Yes,
people
did.
Came to join. People came just seeking God. And I tell you, it just felt right. It felt good. And you could feel God in the house. And so people, when they come, some were visitors, some were first-time people, but they felt or they saw something mm-hmm. that really connected with them in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have that kind of atmosphere, and it needs to be contagious, that whoever comes, they need to know that they are welcome in the house,
yes.
and that they're welcome at the table.
Amen.
And that God welcomes them, and it doesn't matter if they're just coming in off the streets or they just put the bun out when they came in through the door, that we want to receive them and we want to believe God for them getting out of the rut that they're in. Mm-hmm. And we want to be a vehicle to help them do that.
Because one thing we all know for sure is that we didn't all come out of our mother's womb saved.
That's right.
With a Bible underneath our arms.
Not all of us. You said not all of us.
None of us.
You said not all.
None
I thought you were going to make a distinction there.
No, right? None of us.
Okay,
came.
You're right. And the person that you think is all of that, and the most perfect person that you have run across, all of us have baggage. All of us have issues. All of us are struggling. All of us are trying to overcome. But praise God, you're not what you used to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that you're coming out of that situation.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And even though you might not be all the way out, mm-hmm. you got to continue to trust God. Mm-hmm. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Because due season is coming, and that's due
yes.
season has a lot to do with your harvest.
Yes.
But you have to prepare yourself for
yes.
it now. You got to make room for the harvest
yes.
in order to receive what God has. God wants to bless
yes.
in abundance. He's in the business of healing, delivering, setting free, blessing. And we've been blessed to be a blessing.
That's right.
Am I preaching tonight?
You're
we've
preaching
been saved it. To do some saving.
Yeah.
And we've been loved that we might love somebody else.
Amen.
And so when we think of the goodness of Jesus,
hallelujah,
Shabbat, and all he's done for us, then we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to let that light shine in such a way that we don't put up any barriers to hinder other people from coming into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Sister Minister Sherry said that's what drew her to ATOP. Leadership and membership were approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And you know, we were talking about how none of us came out of our mother's wombs, you know, saved
mm-hmm.
and sanctified, and you know, and we all have flaws.
Right, right.
But when you spot a flaw in somebody, that's not time to give up in the mission field.
That's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
Sometimes we get discouraged. We think somebody is all that in a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they fail in some kind of way, then we want to turn our back on the mission field.
Right,
but
right.
that's not what it's all about. We have to recognize that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
That's right.
And that we have to work hand in hand in the mission field.
Absolutely.
And when our brother or sister falls down, we have to help them back up.
That's right.
Give them a helping hand. Don't walk over them.
That's right.
Don't walk on their hand. Don't walk on their back. You know, give them a helping hand. Pick them up. Help them dust themselves off. And let's keep on going.
That's it. All right. Well, that's just a recap. Anything else you want to share about yesterday?
No, it was awesome. You know, I was overjoyed. I was filled when I saw people coming to give their lives to Christ, because
mm-hmm.
we had four candidates for baptism. Four people that wanted to be baptized.
Hallelujah. Glory God.
So we just thank God
yes,
for that.
God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. God. You know, some people are stating that God's church is on a decline, but I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus.
Glory God.
I speak it into the atmosphere that every church door stands open in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection shall be filled to capacity end times.
Yes,
people are going to come and give their lives to Christ. It is not the end of the church.
The church
is not dying. It's not declining. Amen.
That's right.
But we're going up higher. That's the trick of the enemy.
That's right. The grass withereth and the flower fades.
Yes.
But the word of God, shall stand forever.
That's God's word.
And so we got to make sure that we are prepared to receive people and treat them the way in which God would have us to treat them.
Amen.
And when they come in, they're going to know, they're going to connect with that kind of spirit where they can feel welcome and they can feel wanted.
Yes.
And even at the end, Lady Kim, of the sermon, after we had received the new members, we just extended an opportunity for people to come that were sitting in the audience, mm-hmm. because that scripture says the harvest is plentiful or plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Yes.
And many times we have people sitting on their blessed assurance and they're resting on their assets.
Uh-oh.
You're not going to help me tonight.
Not with that one.
We're trying to get people up off of those seats and get them in the ministry actively engaged and using their gifts. And three or four people, I don't know how many it was, came up and say, Pastor, three people came forth and say, Pastor, no, I want to work.
Yes.
We need workers. We need laborers because... Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it now. The harvest is out there. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready. The field is ready. But we need some laborers who are willing to get out and do what God would have us to do.
Amen. 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 That's good.
All right. Well, we're in Song of Solomon, the 6th chapter. And we've already covered the first 8 verses mm-hmm. of that 6th chapter. And last week, we kind of looked at the bride's groom future, further praise of his bride's beauty. And that's part of what we were talking about a little while ago. And then he also talks about her desire for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that took place in most of that, the first part of those 8 verses that you read last mm-hmm. week from the 6th chapter. Only 16 verses in this chapter. And we're a little bit ahead of schedule for those of you just joining us. And we're going to go back and just revisit verses 9 through 16 of the 6th chapter of the Song of Solomon. And then see if there's some things that leap off of the page for us or some comments that we need to stop and talk about as we make our way through this particular portion of the scripture.
Mm-hmm. So are we starting at verse number 9?
Yes.
The 6th chapter of the Song of Solomon. You want me to read to what?
It's only 16 verses, so go ahead and read those 8 verses.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says, my dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, pure to her who bore her. The young women saw her and called her blessed, the queens and concubines also, and they praised her. Who is this who looks down like the dawn,
mm-hmm.
beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? I went down to the nut orchard to look at the blossoms of the valley to see whether the vines had budded, whether the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I was aware, my desire set me among the chariots of my kinsmen, a prince. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon you. Why should you look upon the Shulamite as upon a dance before two armies?
And that was verse what?
That was the last verse.
Verse number 16.
Did I read the right one? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was verse 14. I think it went 13.
13 okay.
verses. Yes.
Okay, it's only
13 verses.
Okay. I thought it was, that was last week before last, 16 verses. All right, so what we see here, Lady Kim, as we continue in this same frame, is that Solomon is really admiring, he's really speaking in reference to the praise of his bride's beauty, and he's also talking about her desire for him. And most of what is transpiring here in these latter verses is him speaking that out and trying to bring clarity to that whole process. And he spent a lot of time in terms of engaging and making sure that others understood how he felt about his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And when it comes to the how it relates to the church,
mm-hmm.
then all the real excellence and holiness on earth centered in the church. It says Christ goes before subduing his enemies while his followers gain victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Okay.
He shows the tenderness of a redeemer, the delight he takes in his redeemed people, and the workings of his own grace in them. True believers alone cannot possess the beauty of holiness. And when their real character is known, it will be commended. Both the church and believers at their first conversations look forth as the morning, their light being small but increasing. As their sanctification, they are fair as the moon, deriving all their light, grace, and holiness from Christ. And as to justification, clear as the sun, clothed with Christ and the Son of Righteousness, and fighting the good fight of faith under the banners of Christ against all spiritual enemies.
Okay.
That was from verses 4 through 10.
So we really want to try to make it relevant to what we're going through and speak to that as it relates to how Solomon is expressive of his bride. The same is true with how Jesus expresses his love and appreciation for the church.
Yes.
And we are the church, we're the body of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. And so God is extremely proud, he's extremely excited about our potential and wants us to reach the maximum of our potential in terms of what he will require of us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that has to do with, as we've already indicated, us being obedient to the word of God. And many times when we just hear this word and not be doers of the word, then we not only suffer personally, but the church suffers because there's a void, because you are not accessing, if you will, your rightful place in the body of Christ and using your gifts in order to make a difference.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Christ loves us so much that he wants us to make a difference in this world. And
that's
he
right.
gives us the strength and the energy and the spiritual fortitude to go forth and fight the battles. And he's there fighting with us. So God fighting the good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives us victory over all of our spiritual enemies. So we have to continue to trust in God and mm-hmm. his word and believe that.
Okay. All right. Anything in those few verses that you shared that's just kind of leaped off of the page for you, other than the explanation that you just made as we looked at that reference, anything else kind of jumps off the page?
Not right now.
Okay. So if we were to summarize and just kind of bring a close to these latter few verses, your little dog keep barking at you, Reverend. So you might hear little Coco in the background. She's at the door barking. But what we see here is we're trying to wrap this sixth chapter up. We see the mutual delight of the bride and the groom.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what we must understand, I think, in when we receive from God, God expects us to give.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process that we ought to reciprocate
mm-hmm.
what God has done for us by showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And then we need to let our light shine in such a way through our obedience to the word that we engage ourselves in in the mission field or the area where the need is great, and respond and meet those needs.
Amen.
You know, I told them yesterday when we were preaching, when we went to Birmingham, I saw one of my childhood friends that I grew up with, and we're both of age now, but he looks and watches and observes what's happening. And so he was going in his pocket trying to give me a check before we even got into the house good. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Man, I'm glad you're here because I was going to put this in the mail." But he wanted to participate in the outreach effort that we're doing. And that really struck a nerve with him, because he saw that we were trying to feed people and we're trying to help those who were less fortunate. And that's where he wanted to make sure that his effort would go. And so I shared with the church on yesterday how grateful we are and how we shouldn't allow someone who's looking from afar to participate and help with an effort, and we're not willing to do it ourselves.
Amen.
Because we're reaching over 400 people now. And I try to keep a running tally each month when we feed. You going to go check on your little dog, Reverend?
No, she'll be all right. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's been out twice. Uh-huh. So,
but we can probably do much, much more than what we're already doing.
I let her in here.
But we haven't gotten to the place where we have the laborers to cover the responsibility in terms of not burning the same people out, and we're not using up people until they're just worn out, they're burned out, and they're just tired. But there need to be others to step up to the plate, willing to use their gifts, willing to get involved, and we have a list of people that we can easily add to what we're already doing. And I just envision, as I said on yesterday, I envision us moving from 400, feeding 400 people, supplying needs for 4 shelters, to moving even to 600 people, and then going in and helping and assisting in some other areas where people are in need. And so we need laborers to step up and help and assist in that effort. And one of the things that happened on yesterday, and I'm not going to call any names, but after the service, one lady in the congregation who's faithful, and she had already brought a couple of turkeys to help and assist with that. And after the sermon, after the service, she said, "Pastor, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. What else do you need me to do?" I said, "Well, you can go do however the Lord leads you, you know, whatever the Lord is telling you." And you know, do you know, she went back and she got 4 more turkeys and a ham.
Wow.
And brought them back to the church and said, "I want y'all to make this a part of what y'all are going to do with your effort in terms of people who are hungry, people who are out there, people who are in need." And we just praise God for that kind of enthusiasm.
Amen.
And that kind of excitement, because we need people to step up and do things like that. And it's not always us asking. Because if you see a need, then you ought to respond to it. Mm. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
And you don't have to wait for somebody. A lot of people, many times I believe, they are waiting for someone to ask them to do something.
Right.
And you have a God-given gift, or you have a skill, or you have an ability to do something. Singing in the choir, being an usher. I think one young man said, "I want to be on the usher board." Mm-hmm. A couple of the people who came down, they said they want to recommit to the choir. And so we need to make sure that you don't just sit back in splendor isolation, mm-hmm. and just expect a handful of people to carry the bulk of the work.
Amen.
But if you got a gift, if you got a talent, and I'm speaking to somebody who's on the call tonight, then you need to use your gift. I'm telling you, God has tremendously blessed us, and we're blessed to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to use your gift to the glory and honor of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so the gifts that we have are beautiful in God's eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, he gave them to us.
That's right.
And he didn't give us our gifts so that we can flaunt them or show other folks and say, "Look how good I can do this," or "Look how well," that wasn't correct, grammatically correct, but "Look how well I can do this," or "Look how well I can do that." It's so that we can help somebody else the way.
That's right.
You know, what are you doing with that gift? You know, and so we talk in the Song of Solomon about the beauty of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of the bride represents the beauty of the church.
That's right. That's
and the
right.
beauty of the church is that we can all work together.
That's right.
Hand in hand to help other people along the way. That's the beauty of the church. That's the bride of Christ.
That's right.
God is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back looking for a church. And the Bible says without a spot or a wrinkle.
Wow.
And so we need to be found being faithful in the vineyard. Faithful in the vineyard. Okay. Working in the vineyard.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we've pretty much closed out this sixth chapter. Do you see any comments or any questions?
Not right now.
I want to encourage those of you who are yet viewing and those of you who have just joined us. We certainly praise God for you. We just finished recapping the latter part of the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon. We read those last few verses before we closed out last week. And as we said, we would come back and just kind of recap and kind of cover a few of those tonight. And so what we'll do, Lady Kim, we are way ahead of our schedule. Our schedule has us going into December with the seventh chapter. Mm-hmm. And there are only 13 verses there. Let's just read those 13 verses, and then if there's something that maybe we can cover in the first seven verses, we'll do that before we close out tonight.
Okay. Let me find the first, the seventh chapter of the Song of Solomon. Reading the first seven verses?
Yes, yes.
It says, "How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O noble daughter. Your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master hand. Your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Bath Rabbim, your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. Your head crowns like Carmel, and your flowing locks are purple. A king is held captive in the tresses. How beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters."
Okay. Solomon's getting deep right through there.
Yes, he is.
He's walking in some tall cotton right in there.
And you know what? He's very explicit. Mm-hmm. And you know, he doesn't leave. So, you know, people who are embarrassed by intimate talk, you can find intimate talk right here in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon is in love with this woman.
Right, right.
He loves everything about her. He describes her thighs, her breasts, her lips, her navel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he describes everything about her. And so he loves her just that much.
Okay.
And so we don't need to be embarrassed when we have a proper relationship with our spouse. We can love each other.
Okay.
Amen. And describe every part of our significant other in a loving and kind way.
Okay. You and Solomon, y'all pretty deep tonight. But I received that even now. Hey, glory to God. But you're absolutely right, Lady Kim. What we are reading, Solomon's expression, we're reading that openly, but he's expressing that to her privately.
Yes.
And then we see it captured here in the Song of Solomon. So that tells me a couple of things, that God was so complete in terms of making sure that we are whole that he didn't leave out anything.
Absolutely.
And so he covers the full spectrum of us understanding how much he cares for us, and he uses different symbols throughout Solomon, as you've already indicated, to show how that relates to his love for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is that we as couples and we who are married, we don't have to get on the microphone or to go Facebook Live to express to the world how much we admire our mate, but we need to at least share that with our mate in an intimate in a way that we can express that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Would you agree with me
on that? Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. I get in trouble for looking at you, and they said, "Don't stay focused, Reverend." So I'm staying focused and not trying to go any further in terms of expressing that. But that's what that's all about.
Yes, absolutely.
And I praise God for how He made sure that He was complete, and He gave us enough material, enough for us to use in terms of how we ought to behave and how our behavior should match our belief. And so if we have that kind of relationship, then there was an old song that I made reference to. The same thing it took to get your baby hooked, it's going to take the same thing to keep her.
Okay. Who was that by?
I don't know who that was by, but somebody could probably tell me. But you have to continue
somebody
to.
Somebody old.
Huh?
Somebody
well,
old.
No, we got some old school people who know what I'm talking about. And somebody might pull it up while we're talking. But you got to continue to go out. You got to continue to have those date nights. You got to continue to have those times of intimacy. You must continue to express appreciation for what people do in your life. Because one thing for sure, people don't owe you anything. They don't have to do anything for you. And at least we can do is just reciprocate. There's something illogical about an allegiance of non-reciprocal relationships.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going
all
in
right,
there. So we should at least reciprocate and let people know that we appreciate what they are doing. And
absolutely,
that's all that means. And so many times people will ask you for something, or they will expect something of you, or they will think that you owe them something, and never say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Never say thank you, I appreciate you, I praise God for you. And sometimes that just unlocks more blessings.
You
know,
mm-hmm,
when people show gratitude and appreciation and thanks, even in this season of stewardship and mm-hmm, Thanksgiving, we need to take the time out to tell the Lord thank you.
Tell God,
we need to
thank
take
you.
The time out.
Yes.
To let the Lord know how much we appreciate everything that He's done. And I think one of the most expressive ways of our appreciation is shown in how we respond by using our gifts in order to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because you just indicated, Lady Kim, that all of us have gifts, and Paul talked about how all of our parts are connected together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hand can't say, because I'm not a foot,
I'm not used to the body. Mm-hmm.
But we all play a major role. And when we all connect in such a way and use our gifts, then God, I believe God is pleased with that. And God smiles on that behavior when it aligns with what He would have for us to do in this world.
Amen. Amen. And one thing you were talking about, you know, the, expressing the beauty of your mate, or, you know, we talk about the physical features.
Mm-hmm.
We need to also be just as concerned about the inward person.
That's good. That's
you know,
good.
Because you can look pretty on the outside,
uh-oh,
but you can have an ugly attitude.
Uh-oh.
You can be evil. You can be mean-spirited. So it's just as important. I'm pretty sure that the Shulamite woman was beautiful
inside and outside.
Yes,
right.
You know, I don't think Solomon would have chosen someone who was beautiful on the outside and hateful and mean
mm-hmm,
on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So our spirit man or our spirit woman is just as important as our physical features are.
That's right. That's right.
And sometimes you can see a person that's not that attractive, but that spirit is so sweet
mm-hmm,
that you just want to be with that person. You
yeah,
want to be around that
that's
person.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and you don't have to be the best looking person in the world, you know, but your spirit or your attitude.
That's right. You're right.
Can be beautiful.
You helping a lot of people tonight, Reverend, and 'cause man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our hearts. And even though you might consider yourself good looking and that you're beautiful and all of that, if you've got a ugly spirit, mm-hmm. it just takes away from all of the outward beauty that you might possess. Mm-hmm. And so we're praying for consistency in inside and out, mm-hmm. you know, so that people won't be confused when they wake up one morning and they thought that they were married to somebody who was sweet and nice, and wake up and the devil is in the bed with them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And so we have to make sure that we represent well, and that we behave in a way that brings glory and honor to God, and then work on our inward parts where we need work. Because I think it was David who said, create within me a clean heart. He didn't say create within, he didn't say create an outward appearance or build up my statue so that I can represent and look much better. He said, create within me a clean heart, mm-hmm. and renew a right spirit within mm-hmm. me. And so I think that's a prayer that many of us ought to pray often, because it's not so much the outward as it is the inward, you know, that holds us back and that prevents us from giving glory and honor to God and making him smile on our efforts and our what we say we're all about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like when you said, David said, create within me mm-hmm. a clean heart, right. and renew a right spirit within me. Mm-hmm. David wasn't looking for God to do something in somebody else.
That's right.
He wasn't pointing the finger and saying, you know, him over there,
right.
or
you need
she
to
over
change
there,
them.
You need to fix them.
Right, right.
Because they just not right.
That's
he
right.
said, create in me right. a clean heart.
Mm-hmm.
And a
renew,
right spirit.
And
renew
that
a right
spirit
in me. You know, sometimes we can have the wrong spirit.
That's right. That's
we
right.
can have a mean spirit. We can have an ugly spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Create within
a
me.
A nasty spirit.
Yes,
yep.
a clean heart.
That's right.
And renew a right spirit in me. Sometimes you
wash
might
me.
Wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
Oh, okay. Which side is that? I want to make sure I don't...
I'll let you know.
All right, see, I'm holding my mule tonight now. But no, you're right, Lady Kelman. People, that's a phrase that people use when they have a bad attitude or when they're struggling or something. But you know, it's not that we're perfect or that we are all of that. But people have bad days. People go through changes, because Jesus Himself said that in this world you're going to have trials and tribulation. There are going to be things that weigh you down, and things that make you question your faith and your belief in God. But if you've got the right spirit on the inside, mm-hmm. then you can weather that storm. Even if you have to just be quiet, be still, and just wait for God to make do what He's going to do. You shouldn't always have that attitude where you're gonna get on somebody, you're gonna tell somebody off, or you're gonna cuss somebody out because you're having a bad day.
Amen.
Okay. And so we're talking now in this seventh chapter. We're getting ready to close out for tonight, but we're just trying to make sure that people understand the relationship between what is happening here in the seventh chapter and how it applies even to our own lives, so that we can have relevance and not just allow this to be words on a piece of paper, but that we can put them in motion even in our own situations.
Amen. And here's our new member, Tanjanika Elliott.
All right.
On Bible study
good
tonight.
To see you.
Thank you for joining us, Tanjanika.
Mm-hmm. So we had a tremendous outpouring on yesterday, and that was one of our new members right there. And so we praise God for that. But in the seventh chapter, I think, Lady Kim, even as we prepare to close, and we want to encourage those of you who are yet viewing, if there are prayer requests, then you can go ahead and type them in the comment box right there, and we'll make sure that we pray with you around those areas. We believe in the power of prayer, and we serve a prayer answering God. But in this seventh chapter, it says that King Solomon, the strength of love, talking about the girl, the man begins taking delight in his beloved's appearance. Both are attracted to each other, waiting for their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are being very expressive and complimenting each other as they prepare to consummate this relationship that they're in.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So we'll stop there for tonight, Lady Kim. And you read the first seven verses of that seventh chapter.
Yes, yes.
And then we'll pick that up mm-hmm. on next week. There are quite a few people in comments, and we praise God for people are even expressing their appreciation mm-hmm. For what God is doing. But is anything there that we didn't cover that we can cover before we get ready to close out that you might want to comment on?
I think, you know, we covered those first six verses mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. We want to spend some time with our prayer request and our praise report. So if you have a prayer request, I see several coming up, please let us know mm-hmm. so that we can lift them up in prayer in just a few minutes. And I know I'm going to have to write them down because my iPad yep. said I had 5% power.
Yeah.
So I need to write them down. The men and women in the military station in Japan and Korea. Now the pen don't want to write. Any more?
Look like I saw...
Yes, there's a prayer request for a loss. The McGee family in the loss of their mother. All right, in the loss of Brenda McGee. All right. And, of course, we want to continue to lift up Sister Sandra Jones in the loss of her brother-in-law. And it says, please pray for her, Sister Carolyn Holmes, Earlene Robinson in Little Rock. So we're going to pray for Earlene. And we want to lift up Brother Clinton Smith.
That's right.
Brother Smith took a fall about a week ago, mm-hmm. fell in his backyard and cracked a couple of ribs. So we want to lift up. He's doing okay. I talked to him Saturday mm-hmm. and he said he was doing much better. But we want to lift up Brother Clinton Smith. And we just want to lift up again all those who are incarcerated and those who are sick and shut in. We have a praise report. Our daughter Tiara was quite sick this past week, but she returned to work on today and she's doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. So we just thank God for that.
She's trying to get her strength back.
Yeah, trying to get her strength back. All right.
All
Anything
right.
else before we go on tonight?
We lift up our brother in St. Mary's, Georgia, Earl Murray Jr. And we also, that's Gina Darlene's dad. And we lift up
Sandra.
Okay. All right. See, you say you can take the words out of my mouth, but that was not what I was getting ready to say.
Oh, okay.
But we received that. But I was going to say Anthony.
Anthony Hanley, our nephew.
Lift up Anthony. We prayed with him on Saturday as we were making our rounds and lift up our sister Gloria, as she's, of course, the primary caregiver there in the home and trying to manage him as he's rehabbing at home and trying to get into a facility. And so we praise God for each of you as you are sharing those requests now. And we're going to touch and agree with you. Lady Kim is going to lead us as we believe God with you for what you are expecting him to do in your situation.
Amen.
And let me tell you this now. You got to make room for what God is getting ready to do.
Amen.
You got to change. You might have to change your attitude and change your behavior in order to receive this gift that God is getting ready to deposit in your spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We will lift up your brother, Earl Jones, Sister Anita. We will lift him up also.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
If there are no other prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we pause at this moment in time just to say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to go through another day, a day you've allowed us to experience. Some of the things were joyful, some of the things were stressful. But nonetheless, oh God, you were with us through it all.
Yes, God.
And so we give you thanks. God, we lift up those who are in the military in Japan and in Korea and in any other part of the world, God.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that you would put a hedge of protection around the military. We thank you, oh God, as we celebrate this Veterans Day, all those who have fought in for this country on our behalf, those who have given their lives that we might remain free, those who continue, oh God, to put themselves in harm's way, those who have come back home with adverse effects from war, we pray for them too. God, we lift up the McGee family to you today in the loss of Sister Brenda McGee. We ask that you would hold that family close, oh God, as they mourn the loss of that mother, that sister, that loved one. We lift up Sister Sandra Jones in the loss of that brother-in-law. We ask that you would continue to comfort that family as well. We lift up Sister Earlene Robinson in Arkansas, God. And one thing we thank you for, God, that you can be right here in Memphis, Tennessee and hear our prayers, but you can work all the way in Little Rock, Arkansas. So we thank you that you can reach to the uttermost parts of the earth. You can touch, you can heal, you can deliver, and you can set free. So we thank you tonight, God. We ask that you would touch Brother Clinton Smith and heal his body. Earl Murray Jr., heal his body. Sandra Murray, heal her body. Anthony Hanley, heal his body. Earl Jones, heal him from that COVID tonight, God. And then, God, we pray for all those babies that are in hospitals, God, experiencing respiratory infections, oh God. And we ask, oh God, that the flu symptoms, oh God, that people are experiencing, that they not be life-threatening. And we bind the disease of COVID and flu and respiratory illnesses right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and we ask, oh God, that you would heal our physical bodies, oh God. Heal our physical bodies in a spiritual way, that we might go forth to be all that you would have us to be. And we thank you for giving us strength. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to call on your high and holy name tonight. We ask a special blessing on church doors that stand open in your name.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, oh God, for you blessing those of us who stand in the on the battlefield for you, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to strengthen us in times like these. We bless you.
We bless you, God.
We honor you.
We honor you,
God. Thank
you. We
thank you for everything.
Hallelujah.
That we've done and that you've done through us.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen and
amen,
thank God.
Amen and praise God.
Amen. Thank you for
all
joining
right
tonight, everybody.
All right. And we praise God for each of you. And don't forget now, next week we'll be in the 7th chapter of Song of Solomon. And we hope that you can be a part of that for next week.
Amen. God bless you all. Solomon chapter 7.
Don't forget to vote. If you didn't do it, early voting, go to vote tomorrow. It's very important.
Yes.
Read those amendments, because you just take time to read them and understand.
Yes.
This is critical in terms of us understanding what the future will look like going forward. We need you to cast your vote, and we need you to be on point. And we praise God that we have people who are willing to understand the importance of voting.
Get your vote in. If you didn't early vote, go out and vote tomorrow.
All right.
All right. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
Till next time.